Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday night show. I'm glad to be here. I always love the Saturday night show. I like them all, but there's a little something special about Saturday. And I'm glad we could be here. So the time goes for about, well, two hours. And this isn't about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the show we're going to see. But it is so timely. It is so, so timely. So let me say hello to everyone here before we start. And we got Sister Kathy. And we have Sister Sharon. Now, I stopped by last night about, your time would be, I guess, midnight. And you were on, Sharon. I had to put you to bed. You were still in the room, but I had to put you to bed, and I was sad. There was no one there, and I left. So,
yeah, we're a tired group of people anymore. You weren't getting us all worn out, but we do a lot of good planning while we're here.
Good, good, good. So how did the prayer time go then last night?
It went good. Everybody seemed very satisfied that they were there and to pray for each other and pray for your prayer, thing that you had going on. And for Pastor Ernie, we prayed for him few people prayed for everybody around the world. You know, the Jewish people.
Good.
Everybody.
Good.
Everybody.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I've been closing in prayer now most of the time.
Right.
And I've been very, very blessed. So last night, at closing, he told everyone that was listening, he said, everything we talked about here today will pass away. He said, in due time, it'll all pass away. But then he said, what John spoke tonight won't. He said, that's the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want everybody to take into eternity with him. So then he said to me, he said, you did a good job. It was a real good job tonight. The closing prayer. He gave me some time. I think I had about 7 or 8 minutes. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I felt really good afterwards. He gave me an attaboy. And it, I don't know, it just really exhorted me.
Good, good. I was wondering if you had, because you know, right now I've been, right before you got everything working, I just got a really pleasant, good feeling all around me, like things were really good for you.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Adding to that here, I got a wonderful card in the mail here. I won't mention any names, but this is the card here. It was very, very wonderful card. It was from a mother who said that a couple of years ago I prayed for her daughter, and that the daughter had was greatly blessed as a result of the prayer, and has been doing great in the Lord since. But her second daughter has serious health problems and emotional problems here with the Lord. So her and her sister, the mother and the sister, shared with the daughter about my ministry and praying for the brokenhearted. So the woman said that, the daughter said that she wanted to pray with me. So they gave me a phone number to call the mother to set it up. So I'll call Monday. Well, no, maybe I'll call tomorrow. That's fine. It was really a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful card that I got. So that was a great blessing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sister Kathy, do you have anything to share?
Just a wonderful, wonderful day. And regarding somebody you prayed for a good while back, and a good part of their family, is a praise report of monumental extreme. So that will be something that will be announced maybe next week. But oh my goodness, God is moving so powerful all around. So yes, God is working.
Well, Sister Kathy and Sharon and others, I feel like when I minister to someone there, and I think I know who you're talking about, and I spent some time. But in that case, it's better for you. And I didn't really discuss it with you, but it's better, like, for you and Sharon and others, especially, I think, the females to minister to. You know, Sister Kathy?
Oh, yeah, after the fact, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The continuation.
Right, right. Good. All right, and then we have... unknown here, but I'm going to guess that it's Gigi and Randy.
Yes, and we indeed know who we are.
You're not unknown to you, right?
Right.
Well, that's
exactly.
How you come in. You come in as an unknown caller.
That's okay.
And
God knows us.
Yeah. All right, and then we have Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
And I will be listening tonight. I have other things going on in the background, but I don't want to miss your teaching and movie. So anyway, I just want to say the day's been blessed. God's had me talking to the people I needed to talk to, and he gives me the things to say or ask, and it's just wonderful to watch him at work, and he's guided me too through the things that needed to get done. So I give him all the praise and all the glory, and I'm glad to be here with you guys tonight.
Amen. Amen. Okay. And then we have Rita with us. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. And I am also glad to be here. And hello to everyone.
Thanks. Amen.
All right. All right. And then we have, let's see, we got everybody that's here right now. So the movie that we show, that I'm going to show tonight, is not connected at all to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but what it is connected to is 1 John. So, you know, I'm teaching on 1 John, so I thought that this would go along real good with 1 John. And it's from that D.L. Moody series. So we got D.L. Moody here. He's not D.L. Moody, but the guy that plays D.L. Moody. I don't know his name. Anyways.
Doug Whitley.
Doug is his name?
Doug Whitley.
All right. Anyways, tonight he's the Apostle John, and he will be speaking on 1 John. How's that?
Yeah, he's totally different as John.
Yes, totally different as John. So let me get this here lined up for us. Now, where did it go? Oh, yeah, certain things I got to do. All right, there's one of them. There's the other. And now we're lined up. Okay, this is the Apostle John, the Beloved, and it's from the series Preachers of the Path, Douglas Whitley. All right. He's playing the Apostle John.
The Beloved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. My brother and I were called Boanerges, sons of thunder. But the thunder does not roll quite as loudly as it used to. I am the last of the disciples. They are all gone now. Perhaps it is fitting, since my brother Jacob, James, was the first to die, that I should be the last. But they are all gone now. They're all gone now. I have suffered. I have been in prison, exiled, but that is nothing. I remember the words of Yeshua, Jesus, Peter, Petro, had been told that he would be crucified. And he said, "Him, what of him?" And Yeshua said, "If I wish for him to dwell until I return again, what is that to you?" I wish he would return again. I wish he would come soon. It has been so long since we last saw him. It was upon the mountain. He rose up into the heavens. I remember the angels looked down at us, the heavenly messengers, the shining ones, and they said, You Galileans, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, which you see go into heaven, will come again as you have seen him go. Even so, Adonai, come quickly, because I have seen the end. I have written the letters to the churches, and I have seen what shall come. I have written about the end of days and the beginning of the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. I wish you could have seen him and known him. I put my head upon his chest there at our Last Supper, the Passover time. When I heard his heartbeat, I knew it was the heartbeat of the Mashiach, the Messiah. That is all gone now. I walked with him from the time he came to us there by the Sea of Galilee and said, "Follow me." We left our nets. We left off fishing. Peter and Andrew, my brother, Jacob, and I. There were others. We followed him the length and breadth of Israel. We followed him from Capernaum down to Jerusalem, from the sea to Decapolis. We watched him open the eyes of the blind. We watched him heal the 10 lepers. We watched him speak to the Samaritan woman. He sent us out two by two. When we returned, we were going to come together and go apart for a while so that we could learn more from him. We were so weary, but the people, the crowds were coming, and we got into a ship so that he could talk to them, speak to them from the boat, and they were on the shore. And then we set out sailing, and there was a storm. We were 3 miles from any shore, almost halfway across the sea. There in the midst of the storm, he came walking on the water. Peter got out of the boat, began to sink. You know that story. And then when Yeshua got into the boat, why, we were on the other side. So many memories. So many memories. So much to share of his teaching. I am the last, and I must give to you what he has given to me. There are some, even now, who say that knowledge, the Gnostics, that knowledge is better than virtue. To know what to do is better than to do. And I must write against them. They do not believe that Yeshua has been born in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. They do not believe that this could occur. And then they believe that if there is a Yahweh, if there is a God, that there could not be any evil in the world. And since there is evil, there must be another God. There is no other God. There is only Elohim. There is only the Lord God Almighty. There is only Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who provides. There is only Yahweh Shammah, the God who is there. But there is evil in the world. There is evil in the world because of the diabolos, the devil, the accuser. There is evil in the world because there is Satan in the world. There is evil in the world because we are in the world, because man is in the world, because we chose to do evil. But I must share this with you. What was from the first? What was from the beginning? What was in the beginning? What was in the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, what our hands touched. I told you I have touched him. What our hands have touched. Concerning the word of life and the life, the Zoe, the Zoe. This is a noble word, Zoe. It is all that is noble, all that is good. It is the best of life, the most wonderful of life, his life, the Zoe, the life. The life was laid bare. And we have seen and we have witnessed and we announce to you the life, the Zoe eternal, which was with the Father and was shown to us. What we have seen, what we have heard, we report also to you in order that you may have fellowship. I like that word, fellowship. Communion is another word, but I like fellowship. It means to be in the same boat. I like boats. I grew up around them all my life. I know what it means to be in the same boat so that we may have fellowship, communion, fellowship with us. And indeed, this fellowship with our Father. Oh, what a glorious thought to be in the same boat with the Father. I have been in the same boat with Yeshua, with Jesus. Another storm came. He was asleep. We thought the ship was going to sink. We woke him. Master Adonai, we perish. And he got up and he said, Shalom. Peace, be still. And the waves were stilled. I have been in the same boat with him, but to be in the same boat, to have fellowship, to have communion with the Father, so that we may have fellowship. And with his Son, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. And these things we write to you in order that our joy may be fulfilled. And this is the promise which we heard from him and we announce to you. God is light. Theo, God is light, and in moral darkness in him is none. If we say we have communion with him and we walk in spiritual darkness, we lie. We lie and are not doing the truth. But if in the light we walk as he is in the light, fellowship, communion we have with each other, and the blood of Yeshua, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This word cleanses, it is a glorious word. It does not mean only to wash. It means to make free from all impurity. It is not just clean. It is completely free of all impurity, clean. There are no signs, no evidence of impurity. From all sin, this word sin, it is such a tiny word to cause so much trouble. It means to miss the mark. It is the word used of the archer when he will let fly the arrow and it strikes the target, but not exactly in the center, just a little off center. That is sin. Only one life ever hit the target. Only one life ever struck the target of Yahweh, God, exactly in the center, and that is Yeshua Mashiach, because in him there was no sin. There was no missing the mark. If we say we have not missed the mark, ourselves we deceive and the truth is not in us. We don't deceive anyone else. Everyone else knows we have missed the mark. If we confess our sins, faithful he is and righteous in order that he may forgive us the sins and he may cleanse us from all iniquity. If we say we have not sinned, a liar we make him and his word is not in us. Oh, my little children, my little children, I write to you in order that you will not sin. And if anyone misses the mark, we have an advocate, we have a parakletos, we have a comforter, a called alongside one with the Father, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a covering concerning our sins, not concerning ours only, but also concerning all the world. And by this we know that we have known him, if we keep his commandments. The one saying, oh, I have known him. The Gnostic who would say, oh yes, I know him, and not keeping his commandments is a liar, and in this man is not the truth. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this man the love of God has been completed. The one saying he remains in Christ ought to walk even as Christ himself walked. Oh, beloved. Beloved, I write not a new charge to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning, which is the word which you heard. Again, a new precept I write to you, what is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing. The darkness is passing. The darkness is passing. When Yeshua died and was buried and rose again, he defeated the diabolos. He defeated the darkness, and the darkness is passing. The darkness is passing, and the true light already shines. The one saying to be in the light and hating his brother is in darkness until now. The one loving his brother remains in the light, and in him is not offenses. But the one hating his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and knows not where he is going, because the darkness blinds his eyes. If you live a life of hate, if you hate your brother, if you hate one created in the image of Yahweh, another human being, if you hate, then you will stumble through this life, because this hatred will blind your eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known the one from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I wrote to you, young children, because you have known the Father. I wrote to you, fathers, because you have known from the beginning the one. I wrote to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Love you not the cosmos. Love you not the world, not the earth, not the dirt upon which we walk, the cosmos, that which is in opposition to Yahweh. Why would you love that which is in opposition to Yahweh? Love you not the world. Do not love the cosmos. Do not love that which is in opposition to Yahweh. Nor the things in the cosmos, in the world. If anyone loves the cosmos, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the cosmos, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life is not of the Father. It is of the cosmos. It is of that which is in opposition to Yahweh. And the cosmos is passing away, and the lust of it. But the one doing the will of Yahweh remains unto the ages of the ages. Young children, it is the last hour. And as you heard, that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have arisen. That is how you know it is the last hour. There is much demonic activity. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us. But in order that it might be shown that they are not all of us, these Gnostics, these people who thought it is better to know, they came from us. But then they denied the Emmanuel. They denied that God could be born in the flesh. They went out from us, but they were not of us. You have an anointing, the Creo, the sacred anointing from the Holy One, and you know all. I wrote not to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, because every lie is not of the truth. Who is a liar except the one denying that Yeshua, Jesus, is not the Mashiach, the Messiah? This is Antichrist. The one denying the Father and the Son. Everyone denying the Son, neither has he the Father. The one confessing the Son also has the Father. What you have heard from the beginning, let it remain. In you remains what you heard from the beginning, and in you will abide both the Father and the Son. Oh, if you could grasp this glorious truth. My people, the Hebrew people, the children of Abraham, Yahweh was a God that could not be seen or touched. If an animal wandered upon the mountain of Yahweh, the animal would be killed. Even in the days of the exodus of my people, if anyone who was unclean came within the area of the tabernacle, they would die. There were others from even among the tribe of Levi whose hearts were not clean and pure. They died. This was Elohim. This was the Lord God Almighty. This was Yahweh. For hundreds of years, thousands of years, it was so. We were in exile. We were taken captive. Always there was the veil of the temple. Always there was the holy place. Always Yahweh was dangerous. He could not be seen. I remember even there upon the mountain when my brother James and my friend Peter and I were there with Yeshua. Peter was talking about building three tabernacles. He was always talking. But there, and we saw, well, we did not see Yahweh. We saw where he had been. And even that was a wondrous thing to behold. And we saw his glory where he had been. We heard his voice. "This is my beloved son," he said, "hear him." And then Yeshua, the Mashiach, the Messiah, he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was God walking among us, the Mashiach, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the one. And now we have the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit in us. No longer a God who could not be touched, no longer even Emmanuel who could only be touched, but now the Parakletos who dwells inside of us. What you have heard from the beginning, let it remain. If in you remains what you heard from the beginning, in you will abide both the Father and the Son. And this is the promise which he promised us, the life, the Zoe eternal. These things I wrote to you concerning the ones leading you astray. And you have the anointing, you have the creo, you have the sacred anointing, which you have, it abides in him, in you from him. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but the creo, the anointing from him, teaches you. The one who dwells inside of us will lead us to the truth. It teaches you concerning all things. It is true and it is not a lie. And as it taught you, abide in him. Now, little children, you abide in him. You abide in him in order that if he is shown, we may have confidence and not be shamed from him in his presence. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone doing righteousness of him has been begotten. See you what manner of love the Father has given to us in order that we may be called the children of God, and we are. Not the slaves of God, not the servants of God, not the enemies of God, but the children of God, that we may say of him, Abba, Father, children of God. Therefore, the cosmos does not know us, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are now children of Yahweh. We are children of Theo. We are children of God. And not yet was it shown what we shall be. We know that if he is shiningly visible, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone having this hope in him purifies himself as the one is pure. Everyone doing sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that one was laid bare. And he was laid bare. They not only laid him bare by taking the clothes from his body, they laid him bare by the wounds upon his back. from the scourge. They laid him bare when they stretched his arms out upon the cross and drove great spikes through them. They laid him bare when they drove a spike through his feet and a spear into his side. They laid him bare that he might take upon himself our sin, my sin, your sin. And sin in him is not. Everyone abiding in him does not continually practice a life of sin. Everyone continually practicing a life of sin has not seen him nor has known him. Oh, little children, let no one lead you astray. The one practicing righteousness is righteous as the one is righteous, and the one continually practicing sin is of the diabolos, he is of the accuser, because from the beginning the diabolos, the accuser, sins. For this was the Son of God made visible. For this was the Son of God made visible, that he might undo all the works of the accuser. What a glorious thought, that all the accuser, the diabolos, has done in separating us from Yahweh, Yeshua has undone. From the time of Adam's fall, when sin entered man, and death by sin, and Yahweh could no longer walk with us because of his holiness, Yeshua Jesus has undone all the works of the evil one. He has undone all the works of the accuser, because everyone begotten of God does not sin, because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot continually live a life of sin because he is begotten of God. By this the children of God and the children of the accuser are made visible. Everyone not doing righteousness and not loving his brother is not of God. Because this is the message which you heard from the beginning. We should love one another, not as of Cain, who was of the evil one and slaughtered his brother. For the sake of what slaughtered he him. This word slaughtered, it is the word for sacrifice. I do not know if you know the story. The two brothers, children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Abel brought the sacrifice Yahweh had commanded, because without the shedding of blood, there is no cleansing of sin, and he brought the lamb. Cain brought what he had from the fruit of the ground. He himself believed he had made it grow. It was his pride he brought, not a sacrifice. And when it was rejected, the pride that was in his heart said to Yahweh, "Do you want a sacrifice? I will give you a sacrifice." And he sacrificed his brother. And for the sake of what slaughtered he him? Because his works were evil, but the works of his brother righteous. Wonder you, brothers, if the cosmos, if that which is in opposition to Yahweh of the world hates you. We know that we have moved out of the death into the Zoe, the life, because we love the brothers. The one not loving remains in death. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer, a manslayer, and you know that every manslayer has not the Zoe eternal remaining in him. By this we have known love. Because that one, on behalf of us, his life laid bare. Because that one, on behalf of us, his life laid bare, we ought, on behalf of the brothers, our lives to lay down. Whoever has the means of life of the world and perceives his brother having a need and shuts his heart, his compassion from him, how does the love of God remain in him? Oh, little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in work and in truth, in sincerity and integrity of character. Let us love thus. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and before him shall... This is a glorious truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and before him shall persuade our heart that if our heart blames us... Oh, how my heart blames me. Could I not have done more? Has pride filled my heart? Is there sin? And then the diabolos, he stirs up our past, and our heart blames us. Before him shall persuade our heart that if our heart blames us, that greater than our heart is God and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not blame us, we have confidence with God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. And the things pleasing before him we do. And this is his commandment in order that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. And love one another as he gave us charge. I remember that last gathering before the crucifixion. He had washed our feet. And he said this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And he gave us this command, to love one another as he gave charge to us, and the keeping of his precepts in him remain, and he in him. And by this we know that he remains in us by the Spirit, by the Parakletos, by the called along beside one in us. In us. By the Spirit whom to us he gave. Oh, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove the spirits if of God they are, because many false prophets have gone forth into the cosmos. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit which confesses not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is the one in you than the one in the world. Greater, greater, greater is the one in you than the one in the world. Greater. The darkness is passing. Greater. Greater is the one in you than the one in the world. They are of the cosmos. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. We are of God. The one knowing God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the spirit of wandering, the spirit of forsaking the truth. Beloved, let us love one another, because God, Theo, is of love. And everyone loving has been begotten of God, born of God. Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, God, has graciously bestowed upon us the gift of being his children. We are begotten of God and know God. The one not loving knew not God, because God is love. By this was manifested the love of God into us, because his only begotten Son God sent into the cosmos in order that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God. How could we not love him? He makes the sun to shine by day, the moon by night. He brings the rain to fall upon the ground. He brings forth the crops. He makes the rivers to run and the oceans to be filled with his creatures. He gives us the flowers that bloom. He gives us the air we breathe. Even when those use it to curse him, he does not remove it from them. So great is his love for us. How could we not love him? But that he could love us. That he could love us when all we have done is to disobey him and reject him and set ourselves up in his place. Mankind is one long history of rejecting him. How could he love us? Not that we love him. Not that we love him, but that he loved us and sent his son a covering concerning our sin. If you ever studied the Greeks, you would learn that the Greeks would bring gifts to their gods. Crops, gold, many things. They would put them there in the temple of their gods so that their gods would come down to get the gifts. There is nothing that we can do to bring Yahweh, God, Theo, down to us. There is nothing we can give him that he needs. And certainly there is not a way that we ourselves may rise to him. We could not be good enough or powerful enough or rich enough or anything enough that we could reach him. And so he came down to us through his son, Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, so that he, through his death and his burial and his resurrection, could raise us up to God. This is how much he loved us. We could do nothing to bring him to us. He had to bring his son Yeshua down to die, to shed his blood so that he could raise us up to him. Beloved, if God so loved us, ought we also to love one another? No man has ever beheld God. I do not think even Moses himself beheld Yahweh, even though he had such words with him. Read sometimes in the Pentateuch, the old writings, in the book of Numbers or in the book of the Travels, and you will see time after time, Moses writes, "And God spoke to Moses." But still, I do not believe Moses saw Yahweh himself. I think he saw where he had been. No man has ever beheld God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is having been completed in us. By this we know that we remain in him and he in us, because of his Spirit that he has given us. At Pentecost, Yeshua had said the Parakletos, the Comforter, would come, and there at Pentecost, tongues of fire were upon our heads. The people gathered by the thousands. We spoke to them, each man hearing in his own language. Some said we were drunken when Peter gave his teaching. But that was when the Parakletos came. 3,000 came at one day to believe on the Mashiach, the Messiah. He has given us his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father, who has sent the Son as Savior of the cosmos, he sent his Son as a Savior to the cosmos, to that which is in opposition to him. He was willing even to send his Son to save that. Whoever confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have known and have believed the love which God has to us. Yahweh, God, is love. And the one remaining in love remains in God, and God in him remains. By this, love has been completed with us, that in the day of judgment we may have boldness. We may be opened. Because as that one is, so are we in the cosmos. When Yahweh looks at us, He sees us through the blood of his Son, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. And he sees us as righteous as Yeshua, as Jesus, because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus. He sees us as pure as himself. Fear is not in love, but complete love casts out the fear, because fear has punishment. And the one fearing has not been made complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "Oh, I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one not loving his brother whom he has seen, he cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, in order that the one loving God also loves his brother. I know. You are asking, who is my brother? Who is my brother? Who is my brother? It is like when Peter asked, who is my neighbor? I will tell you. Who is my brother? I will tell you. Everyone believing that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and everyone loving the one begetting loves the one having been begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. Whenever we love God in his commissions, we do. Who is my brother? Everyone believing that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. And everyone loving the one begetting loves the one having been begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. Whenever we love God and his commissions, we do. For this is the love of God, in order that we keep his commissions, his commands. And his commissions are not heavy, because everything having been begotten of God overcomes the cosmos. And this is the victory overcoming the cosmos. Our faith... Who is overcoming the cosmos except the one believing Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God? This is the one coming through water and blood, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, not by water only, but by the water and by the blood. And the Spirit is the one bearing witness, because the Spirit is the truth, because three there are bearing witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. The three in one are. On the day that Yeshua went under the water at the beginning of his public time, his cousin, another John the Baptizer, when he came up out of the water, there was a figure like unto a dove. And the words of Yahweh himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Witness. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, because this is the witness of God, because he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one believing in the Son of God has the witness in him. In him. The one not believing in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness which God has borne witness concerning his Son. We are the witness. The Spirit dwelling within us is the witness. This is the witness that God gave to us life, Zoe, eternal, and this life is in his Son. The one having the Son has the Zoe, has the life, and the one having not the Son of God has not the life. These things I wrote to you in order that you may know that you have the endless life, the Zoe, to the ones believing in the name of the Son of God. And this is the boldness which we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he shall ask, and he will give to him life. To the one sinning not unto death, there is a sin unto death. Not concerning that do I say he should inquire. All iniquity is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that everyone having been begotten of God does not continually sin, but the one begotten of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world and the evil one lies, and we know that the Son of God is coming and has given to us understanding in order that we might know the true one. And we are in the true one, in his Son, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. This is the true God and life eternal. and with this I am finished. My last word, if you will. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. In the Hebrew, the word means phantom. It also means scarecrow. We think of an idol as something that someone worships, created by the hands of men. And so it is. It is not a god. It is not God himself. It is a phantom. It is a scarecrow. Why would you give your money, your time, your efforts for a scarecrow, for a phantom? What is sad is that I must say, little children, I do not say this to those who are in the cosmos, in the world, to those who are in opposition to Yahweh. This command, this word I give is to those who believe. My little children who believe, my brothers and my sisters in Yeshua and Jesus, the Mashiach, the Christ, my fellow members of the body, guard yourselves from scarecrows. Guard yourselves from phantoms. Guard yourselves from idols. Why would we want to worship that which is not real when we have living within us that which is most real? Little children, guard yourselves from idols. May Yahweh grant his blessing upon the reading of his word. Amen and amen.
All right. I'm back. Well, we're back. And that was 1 John. He put a little flavor to it. But that was, he didn't preach all of it, but he preached quite a bit of it. So there we go. You got to hear 1 John from someone else but me. All right. Sister Kathy, how did that go?
Yes, but I sure did understand the Gnostics.
Yes, he did bring the Gnostics out. Yes.
Yeah, that was very good. And it was just so interesting how the people had to be so clean or they would be dead, and now we come dirty and he cleans us. So I appreciate that paradigm shift.
Okay.
But it was good. I enjoyed it.
All right. We have Sharon. How did you fare?
Okay. I really enjoyed it. I liked how he did his presentation, and it looked like he had on clothes that were dirty for 3 months at least. That didn't bother me. I liked that. And I don't quite understand. Now I can't even remember what it is. I can't understand. Kathy used a big long word and stuff like that. And
the Gnostics?
Yeah, I'm lost with that word.
Okay.
And I need to know, get back into my mind what that means.
All right. Gnostic is knowledge.
Uh-oh.
And the Gnostics, they had different kind of twists to Gnosticism, but basically it was Jesus was not real. He was a spirit being. And that he didn't have a body, and that the way that you do get eternal life is through the knowledge that the Gnostics have. And they were pagans. They believed in different, I guess you'd say, like types of gods. There was lesser gods and a greater god. So that thinking that you needed the knowledge of the Gnostics was a big heresy at the end of the first century and into the second century. So John wrote 1 John in part, but definitely to counteract the Gnostic heresy.
Okay.
All right. Does that help you?
Yeah, it did. It really, yep.
Okay.
It cleared up a lot of what I needed to know. So thank you.
All right. The Gnostic. Sounds nasty. Yeah, well, I guess it is.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It really does. It sounds like somebody being thrown in a water ditch or something. Just nasty.
All right. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
We especially enjoyed that because we read through 1 John this afternoon.
Okay.
Again, together. And so that was really very meaningful to hear him say that. That was very good. He made it come alive. It was really good.
Yeah,
when I was
looking at to see if there was anything I could, because I have a lot of Oral Roberts, but then I came across this one there, and I look, it's kind of small print on it. It said, I saw John, but I had to look hard, and then it was 1 John. So I said, oh, yeah, we got to go for this one. And we got to go to 1 John. And he seemed to think that 1 John came after Revelation. I could see that in what he was sharing. So I don't know. I don't think it really makes a difference. But the things that I had read, 1 John, I think, was next to the last, and Revelation was last. But, well, you could look at it the way it's laid out in the Bible. Revelation is last, and 1 John's right there in front of it. I think you got Jude in front, and then 3 John, 2 John, 1 John.
Well, that was good. Thank you very much for playing that. We enjoyed that a lot.
Good, good.
And It was just good because it was sort of, the reality of someone speaking it like he's John was, I think that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and like he had a emotion to it and he emotioned with it. And then he puts little twists in it like Yeshua and there was other things in. He would explain what that meant when he used those words. So, yeah, it was it was good. All right. And then
it was good. Thank you.
Sure. We have Rita with us. All right, Rita.
I found it very interesting, and I also enjoyed it, and I also was blessed by it. So I thought it was good. So thank you for playing that.
Okay. I think Paula Jean wanted to, she just was monitoring. So, all right, I guess that covers.
Can you?
1 John. Yeah, hello?
Oh, I had my mute off on my phone, but it wasn't connected off to you. So I just was totally blessed. I was blessed so much that I know of people that I'm going to send the link to.
Oh.
Because I really believe that they're going to be blessed. Sometimes, it's like if you're walking with the Lord, but you have people in your family that are giving you questions and they're hard for you to answer, listening to something like this gives them a tool if the questions are referring to things like are covered here, they can just watch it with their family, or listen to it with the family. And it, like others have said, it brings it alive as if you're there in the time with John. And although it's not presented as if he is John in the sense of we know that it is from the teachings of another person, more current, it's still done as if it's John talking because it's using scripture. And but then the comments, of course, amplify to help with understanding. And I just think it was incredibly powerful. So I was glad that I was able to break away soon enough to get a good portion of what you presented and recognize the potential of it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm happy. Yeah. Everybody's happy. So maybe I don't have to teach First John anymore. What do you think, Sister Sharon?
Okay. No, I think you should continue teaching First John.
Okay. All right. I'm only kidding with you. Okay. So let's see. We have a little bit more than a half hour left. That took up a lot of time, but at the same time, it went fast.
Huh. Yes.
All right. I think we should pray now for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we want to focus on somewhat on Saturday night. Phil, it's coming. That focus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming. So I'd like to lead off, and then you could follow me there. You're in order here. Sharon, you're next, and then Gigi and Randy, then Rita, and then Paula Jean, and then Kathy. Remember, Kathy, the last shall be first.
I'm holding on to that.
All right. Father, we thank you that we can come before you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that going back now, I guess, well, from 33, almost 2,000 years now. Almost 2,000 years, Lord. We're very close to it. And what John spoke there at the end, he was the last disciple, Lord. And what he spoke, Lord, it's a great blessing today, Lord, that book, First John. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the Apostle John. He wrote Revelation, which is incredibly powerful. He wrote the Gospel of John, which is incredibly powerful. So thank you. Now, Lord, we're before you now in prayer for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We want to thank you what you did politically. We can't thank you enough, Lord. Every day is like a holiday now when you see all the things that are politically are being done. Thank you. Lord, where would we be without you, Lord, facing the other side, Lord, what they had in store. And they hate you, Lord, with a passion. It's very extreme here in America, Lord. We have us here and all of us here, Lord. We love you, your word, Lord. We love looking for your coming, the blessed hope, to be with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And yet on the other side, Lord, is tremendous darkness, tremendous. So thank you, Lord. And the darkness had great power here, Lord, tremendous power. But you got President Trump through everything, Lord. All of that power, they had everything, but they didn't have you. And we did have you, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And you came through, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you. Can't thank you enough. And may we remain to be thankful. So we praise you and thank you. Thank you. So Lord, we're asking now that we know history, Lord, not only of the United States, of great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, but we've seen them in other places, Lord. We've seen them like in the Armenians, Lord, and then in Russia in the 1930s, Lord. And other countries that we picked up on, Lord, with these great outpourings. So, Lord, this one here, we want to be the greatest of all and to sweep through America, Lord, and then out past America, north into Canada, Lord, South, Central, South America, and then, Lord, Asia, including Japan, and Asia, South Asia, Lord, north into Russia, then, Lord, India, and all those other countries in between, Lord, Pakistan. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then into the Muslim, all the Muslim countries, Lord, all of them. And even in Europe, Lord, we want to see a great outpouring. And down into Africa, East Africa, Lord, where we have the ministry. But beyond, Lord, all the ways down to South Africa, a tremendous harvest of souls, Lord. A tremendous harvest. That's what we're asking for. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done, Lord. All that you've done, Lord. Amazing. It says God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can never take the Lord Jesus going to the cross just for granted. Always have to be thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Lord, we're praying now for that great outpouring to sweep through the college campuses that are just like they were in the late 1960s, Lord, a hotbed of rebellion against you, sweeping in there, Lord. And all of that, the Gnostics, they're like Gnostics there, Lord, all the nonsense that they teach in those colleges, to burn that up with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Burn it up spiritually. And have the atheists, the communists, Lord, the woke, the homosexuals, Lord, the Muslims, the Hindus that are in there, all of them, Lord. All of them. Big move of you through them, Lord. Thank you. Winning multitudes in the cities, Lord, that are like third world cities now, Lord, with the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit is sweeping through those cities, Lord, winning multitudes into you, Lord. Thank you. The churches, fire in the belly of the preachers, Lord, in the pulpits. I pray it's so great, Lord, that it shakes the politicians. It'll shake them, Lord. And Lord, we want to see that nonsense about marriage removed, Lord, and then the righteous, your righteous marriage in place, Lord. Thank you. Can't be stopped. When the Holy Spirit arises, our God is a consuming fire, and that fire burns. It burns the dross, Lord. All that sin, it burns before it. Thank you. But I ask for the healing. So many of your people have broken hearts, Lord. I ask in this great outpouring that includes the healing of the broken hearts and stronghold in the mind, Lord. And that anyone that's oppressed of the devil, everyone's all free of being oppressed of the devil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right. And then, Lord, I pray that outpouring would last right to the rapture, Lord. That we could go to you in great power, Lord, as that revival is surging. Oh, Lord, we want to pray for your people, Israel. Lord, I thank you for President Trump, and I pray that he is a great blessing now, Lord. And I pray, Lord, and this is with serious supplications, that he will not be tempted to try and initiate a two-state solution. It would highly offend you. Lord, I don't know how deep he is in your scriptures, but people around him, for sure. And I ask, Lord, that they would guide him away at no time, a two-state solution. Not for him to impose it. If Netanyahu wants to, and the Israelis, that's something else, but not us, Lord, not the United States, imposing a two-state solution on Israel, Lord. But we also want a mighty move of your Spirit through Israel, like it was on Pentecost, Lord. So there would be you would call out a people, Lord, the Jewish people there, that would just like it was on the day of Pentecost, only at the end, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough now. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Sister Sharon, you're up.
Yep. Dear Father God, I am so glad to be here with Abba Father International, with everybody here who wants to hear prayer and wants to pray. That is what is so important, that we get our prayers out, that people know what we need when we pray, and they can also pray with us. They can ask questions and hopefully answer questions that we might have. So, dear Father God, I am just so thankful that we do have this time to be together and pray for the other countries, pray for our Israel, and for just humanity. It's for people to be able to come together as one and to know that we are here together as one. And I do thank you, Father God, for that little film strip that we were able to listen to. And it just reminded me so much of heaven and what we need to do and they have done. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we can do all this praying and we can talk to each other about you, dear Father, as we have any questions. I always got questions, but I don't know if the answers ever come out right if I try to answer a question. But it's fun and it's good and it's so necessary that we do hear what other people have as answers. So, dear Father, I am just so happy to be here with the group of a Father International. And I just pray that we all have a chance to learn from being here. It is so important. And dear Father, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. And I just will be doing this again tomorrow and stuff and every day of the week. And that's what makes it so nice that we know that we're going to always be here. We have a place to come to pray, to be with each other, and that makes it even more awesome. And dear Father, I just thank you for all that's going on. And in your name, I do pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, Gigi and Randy, you're up.
Okay. So I always like to ask you what to pray for, but I know what I'm supposed to be praying for, but is there anything else you'd like me to pray for?
Well, you could pray for Evangelist John there in Kenya. He's missing, you know, there's no sign of him. So if you were
we've been praying for him many times a day, many times. Yeah, I'm very concerned about him and his family.
So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
I will. Yeah, I will. Okay. Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for those who have gone before us. We want to thank you so much that God is light and in you is no darkness at all. And I pray for each and every one of us that we would draw close to you. That's what it says in your word. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh to you. And so help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you. And I just want to thank you, first of all. There were some things that came out today. What's going on is just unbelievably wonderful. And so we need to pray for protection for Trump and all the people that are carrying out what he has intended to do, which is to clean things up. And this is so dangerous, Lord. It's so dangerous. So we pray for everyone who's working on these projects and everyone who is has joined together with this. It's the same mission, which is to clean it up. And I never, ever in my whole lifetime ever thought I would see anything even close to this. So, Lord, we are praying that you would put a big hedge of protection around all of these people. And all of these people that are doing these things that are great and wonderful and trying to get to the bottom of things and get proof and just dig really deeply into the structures and the people that were there, are there. And Lord, we are praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on these people, that they would understand how, I think they understand how significant it is, but we pray that you would show them this is not possible without you, that this just could never happen without your intervention. And we pray that you would save all these people. Save them, Lord. And we pray that there would be wisdom and strength and protection and guidance for every single person that is working to do the right thing. And we pray that you would open the doors. That's what you've been doing. Open all of those doors. These doors have been closed for a long time. And you are opening them one by one. And you have prepared these people to go in and do a job that is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And it's obvious that they have been preparing to do this for a long time. You couldn't just do this on off the cuff. And so, Lord, we are praying for an outpouring in every one of those people that are working to do the right thing, to clean things up. And we are praying that people around the country would see this as a miracle, because it is a miracle what's going on. So many different things going on, and it's all because of you. This is not, it can't be one person. It just couldn't be. It's just not humanly possible. So, Lord, we pray that this would be a huge witness, and that people that have been doing evil, I've actually seen some things like that, that they said, we now see the evil and we're never agreeing with that again. And so we pray that there would be a lot of these people that would wake up, and not just wake up, but come to know you as the one true God, and that you are Jesus Christ come in the flesh, and you are the only begotten Son of the Father. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the ability to get together and to pray and to intercede and to ask and to believe and to have faith for these things. But this is, I really believe this is beyond anybody's faith, the things that are going on. It's just miraculous. And so, Lord, we want to give you praise and honor and glory. And we want to continue to pray for the people that have been affected by so many things. I got a text message from my friends that are in south of Asheville about a certain area up there in North Carolina near them. And there are wildfires that have broken out in the same areas where those people had all that strange, odd weather. And now it looks like it's going to warm up, and then it's going to be seriously cold and a lot of snow again. So, Lord, we lift up all those people in North Carolina. I lift up my friends to you. They are working with their church to do everything that they can. Thank you that there are people like that, not just them, but many others. And we pray for protection. We pray that it looks like the administration is going to do things that should have been done. And so we pray for all these different things that are going on, Lord. And we know, we've heard even from the Prime Minister of Italy, she wants Rome to be the center of the European Union. She came out and said it yesterday. And so we see that the time is approaching. So we're asking you for mercy. We're asking you for an outpouring all over the planet, everywhere, Lord, everywhere. And we do, we continue to lift up Pastor John to you. And we don't know what happened. And we're praying for the best, that he's alive. And if he's not, Lord, his family needs to know. His family really needs to know what's going on. So we're asking you to put a hedge of protection around him, and that if he's still alive, that you would deliver him quickly. We're praying for a hedge of protection and provision for his family and for Pastor Zephaniah and the church. We pray for restoration there. We pray for protection and guidance and encouragement. And Lord, there's so many things going on this planet that only you can take care of. There's nothing else that we could do. And we know that there's so much going on behind the scenes, but it looks like a lot of these things are being revealed, what's actually happening. So we thank you for that, and we pray that that would be a wake-up call to so many people, that they, it seems like people are waking up all over the planet to what is actually going on. So we pray that it wouldn't just be this awakening to the truth, but that it would be the awakening to the truth of Christ. And so I just want to pray for each and every one of us, that you would deliver us from every evil thing, that you would protect us, that you would provide for us and everyone that needs healing, that you would be present in all of our lives where there is healing that needs to be taken care of, which can only be taken care of by you, Lord. It's only you. And we want to thank you and praise you that you did send your only begotten Son. And there is only one sacrifice, and that is Christ's sacrifice, and that we can become the children of God. And what a privilege that is. And we just thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful prayer.
John?
Yes, sir.
John?
Yes.
I wanted to make a comment on the presentation tonight. What I was struck by was that he was pretending that he was, as the narrator was pretending he was John. So, you know, the main message in there was the substance of John's epistles. But you notice the way he set it up, it was like, I know what I'm talking about. So in addition to the epistles, he brought up being at the Last Supper and resting on Jesus' chest. He brought up Jesus being asleep during the storm. He brought up being at the Transfiguration. All that was aimed at saying, I know what I'm talking about because I was there.
Yeah.
He did say he was the last disciple. What it really was the last apostle. But I like that part where it's not what I know what I'm talking about. I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it was, he has a way to be like a real. You know, when he was playing D.L. Moody, he wasn't just speaking, there was a character behind it, you know?
Yes.
He can, and then here with John, in the beginning there, he was a tired kind of old man. And you could see it in him when you watched it. You could hear it in his voice. And then he picked up. He picked up when he was then presenting First John. But, yeah, he has a way of fitting the part.
At least yes, it was very good.
All right, we have Rita.
Thank you,
Randy. We have Rita here.
Okay. Father, I want to thank you for the day. I thank you for my salvation. And I thank you, Father, for all that you have given to me. Father, I hold up America to you. And I pray, Father, that there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. I pray, Father, that you would forgive us of the sins that we have legally passed in America, and that you would heal our country. And I give you thanks, Father, for President Trump and for all that he is doing to try to bring our country back to where we will be able, that we will worship you again, Father. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around President Trump and his family, Father, and also his cabinet and the people that he is assigning to bring back America again, Father, and that you would protect them from the evil men and women that they will be facing in his administration. Protect Trump, Father, and guide and direct him in all that you want, where you want him to lead America, Father. And Father, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, and I pray that you would bring peace to Israel, Father. And I pray for the Jews in Israel, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And for the Christian Jews in Israel, Father, I pray that they will not be lukewarm, but that they would love you with all their whole hearts, soul, and mind. And Father, I pray that you would protect the IDF, protect these young men and women fighting for their country, Father. And I ask for the salvation of each and every soul that is in the IDF, Father. And I also pray, Father, for the salvation of Netanyahu, that he will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father, if he has not yet done so. I pray that you would protect him and put a hedge of protection around him, guide and direct him in the direction that you would want him to lead Israel. And also, Father, bless his family and protect his family. And I pray, Father, for the relationship between Netanyahu and his wife, that they will love you and that they will love each other. I also pray for Chaplain John, that you would strengthen, encourage him and his family. And I give you thanks that how you have healed Nancy. And I ask, Father, that there be a continuing healing of Nancy. And I bless all the brochures, anoint all the brochures and the books that Chaplain John has written, that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that many hearts would be healed. And also, Father, I ask that you would bless Chaplain John's finances.
Thank you.
And I also pray, Father, and hold up to you all the churches that is in the Arbor Father Fellowship. I pray for an outpouring in each and every church in this fellowship. Bless the churches. And Father, I ask that you would provide food, clothing, water, and shelter to these poor churches, to these poor people that live in these second world countries. And Father, I ask that you will also bless Pastor Fred, strengthen him, strengthen his body and his heart, and comfort him. And I ask, Father, that you would also bless his church, and that his church will be a lighthouse in the community where it is, that many people will come to the church and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that many hearts would be healed. And I pray, Father, for his children, Kate and Nate, that you would heal them and comfort their hearts as they are going through this trying time, and that you would heal them, Father. And I pray, Father, for everyone that is online tonight, that is in the chat room, on Facebook, and the next. And bless each and every one of us, Father. And strengthen, encourage each and every one of us, Father. And I pray, Father, for everyone that is online tonight, that they would love your Son more each passing day. For I pray all this in the glorious and wonderful name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful prayer. Paula Jean, are you available?
Yes. Well, it's been quite an evening. And I just do want to thank you again for keeping your Abba Father Ministry International going, because it truly is a resource, very special. And so one of my prayers, Father, tonight is going to be, I do pray that the word get out, that more people hear about and come to and feast at the table that you lay before us in the teachings as well as in the fellowship that is available here at Abba Father Ministry International. And I thank you, Father, for the work that you have been doing in the hearts of the people who do come, and the protection you've given Chaplain John and his family through the years of your giving him the assignments and his following them, and faithfully you're having equipped him even before he got into the ministry to be able to do the ministry, and gave him the heart to do this and the faithfulness. It's not all you, but it's a lot. We know that without you, we can't be doing any of the things that you really want us to do in the way that you want us to do them. And the evidence, the fruit, is very clear that you've had your hand in this ministry. So thank you, thank you, thank you to both of you and to your wife, to Nancy. And I thank you, Father God, for taking care of Nancy and continuing to bring healing more and more for her. And the same for Sharon, Father, who has been faithful in keeping the call-in ministry going as soon as she was able to get back into it. And your blessings are so important, because it's the evidence of the answers to prayer. And, of course, every answer to prayer builds continued building faith, you know, and recognizing that there is nothing too small or too large for you, and that you just really do love us. And so I was glad to hear Gigi pray for news on Pastor John. And Father God, I know that when the time is right, that will be available. It may be unsafe at this time still for that information to be let out. And so we ask that if it's available privately, then that's wonderful. But the most important thing is for his family, of course, to have peace of mind and or to be able to be reconnected with him. But we do want him to be safe
for as long as he is alive here on earth. We want your protection with him, Father God, of him, and the comfort that comes from your presence, the comfort that comes from your love, the comfort that comes from your peace, the comfort that comes from your still small voice, Father God. I pray all of these things be there for him wherever he is, and in Jesus' name. And I pray for the healing, physically, mentally, emotionally, that he may be in need of, that, of course, that be supernaturally provided to confound those that might be around him, not expecting it. I am praying, Father God, that this is a time, as Gigi was saying, it's kind of like unprecedented, and that this would be a time that the fear of God would rise up in those that need it. And I would say we all need it to drive us closer to you in one way or another, but especially in those that have been battling fiercely against you. So however you'd like to arrange that for them, I really do pray that they become blessed to have the fear of God rise up in them and turn them around.
Okay.
And get them on their knees.
Paula Jean?
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Sister Kathy.
Sir. See, what did the doctor say? What was Nancy's? What did the doctor say about Nancy yesterday?
No. That was just a blood test.
Oh, she didn't get it. Okay, so, but no. She is just continually healing.
Yeah, she, she has, an appointment for Thursday to talk to the doctor.
Okay, all right. And Twizzle's daughter is driving up from Austin to Omaha tonight at 3 o'clock. And so I don't know how long it takes, maybe 8 or 10 hours, you think?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you. I agree with all the prayers that have been prayed. I know time is short, and I thank you so much for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have planned for us. We thank you, God, for the safety of America, the safety of President Trump, Vance, Johnson, all the other, everybody in the government, Lord. And we just pray that everything will be done decently and in order. We thank you for the next great awakening. We thank you for the revival that is breaking out. We thank you for this characterization of just the John the Beloved. And Lord, it just brought it right into our wheelhouse, Lord, of just feeling that he was here with us. And so thank you. Thank you, thank you. Your word is true. It's forever settled in heaven. You're watching over it to perform it. It will not return void. And I do pray for the fivefold ministry tomorrow. All the people that have anything to do with the propagation of the gospel, especially the technicians and the sound men and the people that are for task with the safety of the church. So thank you, God. Bless Chaplain John. Thank you, thank you, thank you for him and Abba Father International Fellowship. And we just give you glory, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, all right, we have the show tomorrow, and that'll be with Dave Hauser, will be a part of it. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's end time prophecy update, and there's always a lot going on now. Scratching around to get information. It's all laid out there. So God bless you, and I'm going to close with the Know We Are Christians by Our Love.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. With each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. Christians by our love, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. Oh, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love.